welcome, welcome to Pocketoid, your podcast that cannot seem to just get on schedule and freaking record because we keep getting distracted talking about SSS Gridman, the new Bleach movie, what we're watching for Halloween, the new season of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. What else do we talk about?
The steak and Super Mario Party.
And now it's been an hour and a half since we said we were going to hit record, and here we are, finally doing it.
Oh, sorry to bother you with my presence. Sorry that I just ruined your afternoon with our conversation.
I didn't say you ruined my afternoon.
You said it five times.
We host a podcast.
You said it 200 times. You screamed it while hitting me.
We have to be professional. This is a podcast that we get paid for, and so... Wait, am I not supposed to say that? Am I not supposed to say that
we get... They're not supposed to know that we make six figures off this.
Yeah, Nintendo pays us each $400,000 a year.
George Soros Nintendo pays us $100 to Crisis Podcast.
To sell their products for them. Hey, welcome to this dumb podcast we do sometimes. If you've never been here before, I'm so sorry. We are a handheld video game podcast, and we talk about handheld video games. And I am your host, Jordan/Jackal27, and with me, as always, is my very feminine co-host,
Addison. I don't know what that was about, but
I'm always trying to think of a different adjective, you know?
Like, I don't... That's fine. Like, it's just felt out of left field.
Usually I talk about how masculine you are, so this week I wanted to just... I think you're a very well-rounded person, so this week I wanted to emphasize that side of you, that...
Okay, yeah. Sure. It's fine.
What's your Twitter handle, Addison?
It's @Addison_L.
Sweet. And if you want to follow the podcast, you can look for us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Google Play. We have not heard from Spotify, so I don't know. Maybe they just don't like
Spotify,
us.
I guess.
Not Spotify yet.
Not Spotify material.
Yeah.
But that... never mind.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
You guys don't need to know
about
that,
man. You guys
want
to hear about Colin.
That's not what I was going to say.
No, that's what I
was
going
to talk about this man. I'll show him to you later.
So, but yeah, if you want to follow the podcast, you can follow us on all those things. You can look for us on Twitter @Pocketoid. You can join our Facebook group, I guess, or page. Whatever. God,
not a
who
group.
Uses Facebook?
Yeah. And don't.
Yeah, actually. Maybe don't.
We're not even. We barely use it.
Or you can check out our website at pocketoidpodcast.com. And email us at pocketoid@gmail. We'd love to hear from you.
Real quick, I also want to just briefly mention, I'm trying to stream more often. I don't really have a set schedule, but I kind of spoofed up my, or I should say spruced up, I guess, my Twitch channel today. I'm trying to do that more often. And it is twitch.tv/Addison_L.
Oh, nice.
That's how that works.
That's easy.
It used to be crackety_jones88, but I was like, I don't like looking at that.
None of my usernames worked for Twitch, so I think mine's just like Jordan Starkweather or something, and I never use it.
So I just finished, well, by the time you're hearing this, I will have finished Yakuza 6, and I did a lot of that on stream. And so I'll probably be mostly streaming Ni No Kuni 2. In the future, I would like to get some more hardware and be able to stream Switch games, obviously. But that is probably several months off. But
a lot of those capture boxes are a lot cheaper now than they used to be, and you could probably do that pretty easily.
Yeah, they're still not cheap enough, though. Yeah. cheap enough that I can just buy one on a whim.
Do you want your mic back so that you can use it?
Mean, in the future I will. But right now I've just been using the integrated streaming on the PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wear my... I have a Corsair headset, and I just use that for the audio.
Sweet.
And it works pretty well.
Nice. We should probably do some streams together sometime.
Yes, I really, really want to. This is not us committing to anything.
No.
But
I hear it's what all the kids are watching. So for some reason, people like to watch other people play video games, which I don't get. But
I didn't used to get it, but I kind of get it now.
Yeah, I think I'm just 30. I think that's the problem.
I'm also 30, but, Anyways.
It's because you play Fortnite. That's how you get it, I guess. Once you... God, I'm just glad no one can see that.
I just did the Orange Justice on this couch. No, I didn't. But no, I've been meaning to talk to you, and I would love to do a Child's Play stream. Child's Play? What's it called?
For some reason, Child's Play? We're in Halloween mode, and when you said that, I thought we were going to watch the Chucky movies live on stream, which
Wait,
I would be for. But
because it's also because it's Halloween, I'm trying. Is that also what the charity is called?
I can't remember. Maybe. Yes, I think
people listening know what I mean.
Yeah, you know what we mean. A charity stream. What would we even? What would Pocketoid even stream? But,
you know, like those like 24-hour streams during that time, and I think that'd be fun.
Oh my gosh,
we would stream all kinds of wild stuff.
Oh, it would be off the chain.
Yeah,
I'd probably just bring my GPD and say, "Okay, let me tell you about this arcade game."
Yeah, we would. We'd have plenty to go through.
Oh yeah,
for sure. I think it'd be really fun.
I literally have a favorites list on my emulation machine of just games I need to show Addison. Just go through those. I remember that Dinosaurs for Hire was on there one time. And then, and then Cyberbots, but we played through that.
We'll just play through, Metal Warriors? Metal Warriors.
I thought you were going to say Metal Wolf Chaos.
For 24 hours.
But Metal Wolf Chaos would be pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Maybe. Does that stream well? Who knows?
Probably not.
Probably really. Not.
Probably stream bad.
Probably pretty bad.
We could just like find a whole bunch of like demo discs and stream those.
That would be freaking sick. Actually, whenever I was building up my library of PlayStation ROMs, I went and found all of my demo discs I had when I was a kid.
I'm pretty sure I have some somewhere in like a really crappy case.
Damn, that'd be really good.
But also, just so you know, Giant Bomb already has like a series where they do demo discs.
Aww.
Which is what honestly was what got me to go premium on them.
Giant Bomb is the Simpsons of video content. Though you can't,
it's called Demo Derby,
yeah,
which is a good name.
That's a great name,
and I love it because like when what they do is they'll put in a demo disc and they won't like take it out until they've done every single thing on the disc, which also means that they watch a lot of videos from the early 2000s.
Good.
And they're great. They also have something called game tapes where like they have all these promotional like tapes of B-roll and stuff. Mm-hmm. Some of them are those, but some of them are just like stuff that they would send out to media outlets for like, here's like some B-roll that you can use for like a news story.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been great because there's some stuff. I watched one today and like they were doing like some sort of like big promotional event at some mansion for NBA ballers.
Holy crap.
It was like all these NBA players and then Tom Arnold. And it was really, really good.
That's great. What was it? I saw some images today.
It was very 2004.
Of two of the dudes from Good Charlotte hanging out with Vin Diesel at some gaming thing, and it was good.
Did Raymer post that?
I don't know.
That sounds like something Raymer would post. Anyways, we should probably do the podcast.
Hey, yeah, but first I wanted to share some updates with everybody if you haven't been following along on Twitter or something. So Pocketoid is going weekly again for the first time in 5 years. So
something like that, yeah.
My goal is to get our episodes out on Mondays. Might be Monday evening sometimes or Monday morning, but my goal is to shoot for Mondays. I'm just really excited to be doing this weekly again. Also, I think we originally started going bi-weekly because we didn't have much to talk about.
Yeah,
it's like 3DS games, you'd get like two a month that were worth talking about. But with the Switch, it's like our last several episodes have had like 10 reviews, and it's just too much. I think we're gonna start doing weekly episodes and just see how it goes for a while and give another shot. And then also, we are, if you haven't noticed, we're rounding up to our 100th episode
Is this episode 97?
I think so.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. But we're rounding up to our 100th episode before too long. And
it only took us 10 years.
Stop saying that. Stop it. It wasn't 10 years. It was like 7. Addison likes to joke that we should have been here a long time ago, but hey, 100 episodes
is still something.
Is a big feat.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
I don't know, like, really anybody else around here that's done that.
So. Exactly. And I don't really... And even on the internet, I know lots of people who have started podcasts and gotten just episode 100 and then dropped it, you know? And so, my favorite podcast of all time got to episode 100, Retro Force Go, and then dropped it. And so, wanted to say that we have some cool plans for our 100th episode. I'm still
so excited.
A work in progress, but really hoping that it's going to all work out, and I'll just say that...
I mean, you say a work in progress, but it seems
like it's going to happen.
I mean, like, I've been...
I never want to say anything until it's, like, out, though, because, like, things could still go
wrong. I've been...
Especially when you're coordinating...
Behind the scenes, organizing for it, and it seems like we're good. We're just waiting until we're at episode 100, mm-hmm. but it seems like everything is a go.
It's definitely a go. for sure.
Oh, boy.
I'm so excited. Yeah. People are going to... I hope people are going to freak out. I know that for us, it's going to be like...
I think there will be at least a group out there that is going to freak out.
There is a group of people out there that are going to be very happy.
It's not going to be on CNN.
No.
But, like...
No.
There's a...
But for us, and, like, yeah. like what... Like I think us doing this show, yeah. our origins, like all of that.
I think a lot of our listeners are going to be pretty stoked on it.
For sure. Especially if we can get it out to the right people and be like, hey, yo, just so y'all are aware, this happened because it's going to be really freaking cool. So
very excited.
Yeah, very, very, very excited. And so anyway, don't want to spoil any of that, but just want to say we do have plans for our 100th episode.
I mean, and less than a month, you'll know.
You will know if we keep this weekly schedule up, if nothing goes wrong, so... But anyway, we are like 10 minutes in already. We haven't talked about crap. So, Addison, tell me, what have you been playing? Give me some games.
So, I mentioned earlier about like the streaming, and so I am on... I thought I was going to finish Yakuza 6 last night, but turns out there's one more chapter. But, so like, I finished...
Do you like that game? What are your overall thoughts? I'm curious.
So, this will have... been the third Yakuza game that I've played all the way through, and
in like 2 years.
Yeah, and well, probably less than that.
Yeah.
But it's my least favorite of those three. It's still good, and there's a lot that I like, but I have a lot of complaints with it too. The battle system is just not as in-depth as like the other ones, and can be just so monotonous and like you see the same heat actions over and over again.
That's frustrating.
Like, I'll have, like, a chair and do a heat action and be like, oh, that was cool. And then, like, get, like, a table. And then it's the same heat action except he's holding a table.
I feel like that's why Yakuza 0 and Kiwami were so good, is because they took all the stuff they'd learned since Yakuza 3. And, like, because they're using the same engine since Yakuza 3, too. And they just kind of stuffed it all into one complete package. And it feels like with 6, they're trying to start over again. And it's going to take a while for them to get up to the level of those.
Yeah. It's that battle system that is like my big complaint on it, which sucks because that's the gameplay.
Yeah.
But the story is really good, and like there's tons of really good like side stories. I just got done fighting a bunch of ghosts.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, like real ghosts?
Yeah.
Good.
Kiryu fights ghosts and also helps some weird. It's not astral projection, but it's something like that this person has done where they like have like time traveled through projecting their consciousness back to their body from like several years ago, and it's like what's happening.
This game is supposed to take place in the real world, guys.
Yeah. Takes place in Kabukicho and Hiroshima. And yeah. there's a lot of really good side stories and a lot of fun mini games that are a blast. Although there's like not that many mini games in Hiroshima, which kind of sucks. Like there's still like a decent amount when you're in Kabukicho, but it's a really good looking game. And what is the actor's name? The teacher in Battle Royale. He plays like a major character in this game.
See, I know it, and now you're making me blank out too.
I can't think of his name, but he's
excellent.
Fantastic. God, in this game. Good. Like some of like maybe the best acting I've ever seen in a video game.
Really?
Yeah, it's he's so good.
I mean, he's just incredible too, though. Like in everything. Yeah. I wish he was in more American movies because he's so good.
And in classic, Japanese style, I got to the end of his storyline last night. And it, like, gives you his backstory, and of course it was just so, so sad. It's just like, oh.
Is he the villain in the game? You don't want to spoil it.
I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, alright.
I will just say, there's multiple villains. Like, I mean, that's usually the case in these games, but, like, there are several multiple villains. but... Also, there's, like, a lot of things that I've noticed in this one that seem to be callbacks to Yakuza 0, which is kind of neat, because, like, Yakuza 0 is the beginning of Kiryu's story, and Yakuza 6 is the end of Kiryu's story. But overall, like, it's a good game. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, it's kind of a bummer. Like, there's all this stuff that I wish had been done better.
Especially, it's, like, the end of the series. Like,
yeah.
I kind of wish I would have just stuck with that engine.
Well, it's not the end of the series, it's the end of the
Kiryu story. Kiryu's yeah. Well, you know, but...
Thing. Yeah, because they've said that they're going to make another Yakuza game, but it will be different characters.
Yeah, I just don't know how I feel about that. But that new game they have coming out, the detective one, looks
Project Heat Eyes or something like that.
It looks so real cool. So, yeah, I do have hope for, you know, what the future of the series is going to be. And yeah. I hope that Fist of the North Star game turned out good as well, but I haven't heard
about it. Yeah, I've heard good and bad things. And I'll play that eventually, but I imagine it'll probably come tax season, probably be like $20-$30.
I think they'd probably benefit from turning down the release schedule on those games a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
It seems like they put out like two a year.
Yeah.
It's like, you should probably just do like one every 2 years.
And like, I feel like it was like a 6 month window that Yakuza 0, Kiwami, and 6 came out.
Yeah,
and
almost. It was
like, woof, come on, guys.
And I know
that. And then Kiwami 2 came out like just a few months later.
Yeah, and for us, we got all that because it did come out in Japan for a while. But even in Japan, it seems like it's a yearly series at least. But
I hope that they also bring over those. They're not like. I think, like, maybe they've upscaled it a little bit, but the releases of 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember them saying they were going to. I wish they would translate the samurai ones. Those are the ones that I want to play.
Yeah.
There's two of them where it takes place in ancient Japan and Kiryu's just a samurai, and I wish I could play those.
I wonder if they just aren't doing it because that zombie one was so bad.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, Yakuza is great. I love it. Yesterday, I went out and bought Kiwami 2, knowing that I was almost done with 6.
Mm-hmm.
But today I went and returned it for a few reasons. I just kind of felt like I should give myself a bit of a Yakuza break. That way,
he's been on the inside so long, he doesn't even know if he can find his way out.
I want to come back feeling fresh and ready for more Yakuza, not like more. Oh boy! All right, let's go. And also. Ni no Kuni 2 got real cheap, and I've been wanting to play that for a while. So I picked that up today, and I got the premium edition for the price of the regular edition. So
that's pretty dope. That's worth it.
Got the premium edition for $20. Pretty excited to play that. I've also been playing more Cosmic Star Heroine. That game is still very good. I love the writing and the music so much in that game. It's good. I can't remember. That game's either like $12 or $15. It's so cheap for what it is.
Apparently it didn't sell very well on the Switch. That's a bummer. Which is really strange because it sold well on the PlayStation and Vita. More people need to buy that game because
it's great.
A good RPG.
I want to see them make more stuff like that.
Yeah, and the soundtrack's excellent. Their next game they're coming out with is apparently another RPG with a brand new battle system and stuff about doctors.
Huh.
And so it's like called something RX. I don't know.
Like Trauma Center, but an RPG?
Yeah. Like, I'm really curious as to what that's going to be like.
That sounds... I'm interested.
Yeah. So, this game's obviously supposed to be more of, like, a sci-fi 80s anime kind of, you know, aesthetic. But, with, like, a...
It's very cyberpunk and...
Yeah.
Like, I was playing earlier, and, like, someone was like, oh, if I knew this food was going to be so good, I would have had a third stomach installed.
Okay. Can we talk about my favorite, most recent meme? And it is that Cyberpunk 2077 meme where people just throw the logo on different stuff. I saw one that, and people have been sharing it like on my Facebook feed, just like normies. Weird. That because I don't think they know what it's from. But like, I saw someone share one, and it was those Apple EarPods, you know, with the stupid things that stick down. And the person had looped it through their like ear gauge. Ew. to hold it in their ear. It's like said Cyberpunk
2077. Hey, I hate AirPods so much.
Yeah, me too. They look real dumb. And also, no.
Like, you didn't have to make them look like that.
No.
It looks sure bad. Didn't. I'm totally fine with Bluetooth headphones, but woof.
Yep. They look real bad.
And then I have another game. I mean, I was going to do a review for it. I don't know if I should go ahead and do that or just wait.
It. Yeah, okay. Go for it. That's how we do reviews now, boy.
Let me make sure that I didn't have anything else I was going to... Where to go? Sorry, I thought I already had it pulled up.
Addison.
Okay. After last week's episode, went home and purchased Donut County.
On your Switch?
No. Oh. Donut County is available on PlayStation 4 and iOS.
Whoops.
So, I played it on PS4, but as far as I know, you know, it plays pretty much the same. But I don't have an iOS device. So if I did, I probably would have bought it on one of those because it's cheaper on iOS and it's the same game.
Didn't the team make something else that was well known before this? I don't remember. I'm completely wrong.
Not that I know of.
I thought you mentioned something. No, I don't
know what I'm talking about. The creator is Ben Esposito. I don't know.
Despacito.
Despacito 3. So, as far as I know, it's the same game. I also know that the iOS one comes with some, like, a sticker pack for iMessages, which is nice.
Hmm.
But also, the iOS one is cheaper. So, I think it's, like, $12 on PS4, and iOS it's $5.
Oh, nice.
And one of those numbers is less than the other number. Donut County is a very kind of strange game on the surface, but is just, it's fantastic. And, you know, I'm a little late to the party on this, but the story is these raccoons have moved into this town, and the town is mostly animals, but then there's also, like,
I just want to clarify, I know zero things about this game. I've never seen it.
Okay.
I've heard you talk about it, but I have not seen anything.
All right.
So as soon as you say this,
I'm going to do my best to paint this picture for you. Okay. So these raccoons move into town, and they take over this local donut shop.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the main raccoon that you are interacting with in this game. His name is BK, and I don't know if it stands for anything. I don't think they ever mention it.
Mm.
So he is ordering donuts for people, but whenever he says, like, that they ordered a donut, what it is like, he has some app on his phone, mm-hmm. and it controls a hole in the ground, and then so the gameplay is you moving this hole around, and it's very Katamari-esque, where you move the hole and you get things to fall into it, and as you get stuff to fall into it, the hole gets bigger. And then so there's, like, some kind of, like, light puzzle mechanics with that. Like, you might have something fall in there and you can shoot it back up to, like, hit something to make something else happen. Or you might, like, you know, drop something in the hole to make fire shoot out.
The mental image I have of what this game looks like, I'm sure, is nothing like what the game actually looks like.
But it's a very,
I am puzzled, to say the least.
I don't know how to describe it's a very colorful art style, and
is it 3D or 2D?
It's 3D, but, like, kind of low poly, but not really low poly.
I know the look you're talking about.
Like, kind of like Katamari also in the visuals, but,
like, it doesn't have, it's not super textured.
Yeah, there's, like, not,
kind,
like,
kind of like Goose Game.
Much like Goose Game.
Yeah.
But, so, like, where this game really shines is the writing. So you'll go through there and you do that, and then at the end you are presented with a section called the Trashopedia, and it has, like, also, like Katamari, a little, like, description of whatever, you know, all the different items that you dropped into the hole. I posted, like, one on Facebook you might have saw. It was, like, a dog bowl, and it said, drinking from this is like kissing a dog, but not as fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did see that. So that's okay. I can totally get the look of the game in my head now.
Yeah. So it's stuff like that, which it's really fun to just go through and read all those Trashopedia entries. So I made sure to read every single one. And then so basically you're presented with all these stories through a flashback of how everyone ended up, like, in the center of the earth because they just kept dropping everything through these holes. And I won't, you know, ruin the story, but it kind of goes from there. And basically the whole game is a analogy for gentrification.
Okay.
And so, like, everyone's, like,
I've heard this,
like,
actually
mad at, like, these raccoons for like moving in and taking over, and, like,
and the raccoons are millennials. Like,
yeah. Yeah, they're millennials. No. But the game is great, and it's, like, it's not very long. I think it took me about 3 hours, and I played it, like, start to finish in one go. And then afterwards you can go through and, like, go to the different levels and play them individually. And you unlock more Trashopedia entries and stuff. And it's something I definitely can see myself, like, playing through again.
Sweet.
It's fantastic. I give it a buy it. I'm I really, really like Donut County a lot.
How long is it?
It's about 3 hours.
About 3 hours. That's funny because like I have two games to review this week too that are also around that length.
Did you see? I got a enamel pin of it at PAX.
I don't think you showed it to me, but I think you told me about it.
I thought I did. The raccoon in the trash.
Yeah, you didn't show it to me, but you told me you got
an enamel pin. Yeah, it's very good.
Because you said the line to get it was crazy at PAX.
Yeah, it was. I waited to probably about 2 hours to get that.
Jeez, holy cow. Yeah. That's nuts. What else have you been playing?
Oh, that was it. Just those and Picross. I haven't really played a ton. Yeah, always play more Picross. I dipped back into Zelda a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me about that last week.
Yeah.
But now you're not anymore?
I've been wanting to. I just, like, every time that I feel like playing Zelda, I'm like, well, I don't want to play this for only, like, 10, 15 minutes. And yeah. I don't have a ton of time right now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been kind of busy. It's kind of a busy month, and I haven't really played a ton. Like, the majority of the video games I've been playing have been Yakuza 6.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'm glad you're able to finish it, then. Now you can play other stuff.
Yeah.
For the show. Get back to work.
Yeah, since the last episode, that's two games I finished. Donut County and Yakuza 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
I finished two games this week, too.
Nice.
That's crazy. Can't believe it. I mean, they were both like 3 or 4 hours long, but, you know, whatever.
I'm very excited to play a bunch of Ni No Kuni 2 and talk about that next time.
Sweet.
And hopefully something on Switch. I've been really eyeballing Wonder Song.
You should finish a couple of the games you have. Just go beat them.
Yeah.
You have a lot of things.
I know.
Or play Monster Hunter with me.
Yeah, I'm down. I also...
It's kind of Halloween. There's monsters.
Hopefully, there's a game I requested a review code for, and we'll see if we get that.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, cool. Is that all for you?
Yeah.
Neat. I'm trying to think if... I don't have anything to talk about, so...
All right, well, that was a good episode. We'll be back next week.
So, Addison's supposed to ask me what I've been playing, but you know what? I'll just go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just messing with you. I'm just teasing. So, I've been playing... it's Halloween time. I forgot to ask you this, actually. It's my bad. Have you been playing anything spooky or doing anything spooky for Halloween?
I've been watching a lot of horror movies, but I haven't really played anything spooky. I've been really wanting to... last year, I think it was... I played through Costume Quest 2.
Oh, I need to play that. Crap. I actually own it, but I've never played it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of wanting to go back and play the first Costume Quest.
Mm.
I wish they put those on the Switch. I'd buy those again.
Yeah, they need like a double pack of those.
Or just like Costume Quest 3 to just round it out.
That'd be great.
I really, really like Costume
Quest. Did you beat Costume Quest 2?
Yeah.
Is there room for a third one, you think? I mean, it's not really like a... It's not like a... There's not like a big lore.
From what I remember... Because, I mean, Costume Quest 2 does connect to Costume Quest 1.
Okay.
And there's also, like, a DLC for Costume Quest 1 that is, like, kind of ties in between.
That's what I was trying to finish, was the DLC for Costume Quest 1. And it's like, I want to play Costume Quest 2, but also I want to finish that DLC first. But also I have to wait till Christmas to finish the DLC.
No, you don't. Just... It's not even that Christmas-themed.
Yeah, okay, well...
Whatever. But... I mean, from what I remember, the way Costume Quest 2 ends, like, it seems pretty, you know, the book is shut.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, they could just make one with, like...
You could just do it anyway.
Yeah. Well...
Combine it with Psychonauts. Who cares?
Actually, I could see them doing, like a new one of, like, here are, you know, the grown-up kids, like, these are their kids, and now...
Oh, that'd be awesome, yeah. Actually.
Because in Costume Quest 2, you're, like, interacting with, like, your grown-up versions of yourself.
Oh, okay.
Which isn't really a spoiler, because that is how the game opens, basically.
That's really interesting. That sounds really neat. Yeah, that'd be super cool. Cool. Well, yeah, I've been playing some spooky things. I'm trying to think what all I've been playing. I've been playing Castlevania 4. I've almost beat it. And I'm going to finish it this time. I've never beat it before. Yeah. I'm going to do it. I'm very, very close.
Are you playing like on like a cartridge? Or
I have the cartridge, but I've been playing on my SNES Classic because I can use save states and not passwords that way.
Yeah, I forgot that was on there. I should do that.
Yeah, I've been playing that.
Or was that on there like originally, or was that something we added?
Nope, it's on there.
I can't even remember what was like originally on there.
Did I add stuff to your SNES Classic?
No, but I added stuff to my
NES. Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I took both my NES and SNES Classic a while back, and I just sort of I wiped off all the stuff I had added, and then I re-added all the original games, and then made a folder of like 10 additional ones that I thought should have been part of each one. So like, because I wanted them to be much more concise and compact. So I was like, okay, here's Tetris Attack, here's stuff, Chrono Trigger, stuff that should have been on, you know. But anyway, yeah, Castlevania 4 was on there originally. So
okay, you can play that. I couldn't remember.
On the NES Classic, I did remove Castlevania 2 and replace it with 3, though, because...
As the good Lord intended.
Yeah, because why did they include that? I just don't know.
I don't...
So anyway, played a bunch of Castlevania 4. That game's great. Not as good as some of my other favorite entries, but I still love it. It's easy. That's the nice part. It's easier than, you know, the older Castlevanias. And then I've also been playing Gargoyle's Quest 2 on the NES.
Nice.
Which I always forget even exists, because people only really talk about Gargoyle's Quest on the Game Boy and then Demon's Crest on the SNES.
Yeah.
But there is that little guy right in between that came out, like, in the 90s for the NES. And it's a good game, so I've been playing that, and that's dope. It's just weird to me that no one ever remembers that game's on the NES, and it's a lot of fun. It's like a... has like a little RPG overworld, and then it goes into side-scrolling sections.
Yeah, where you remember,
jump around, fight stuff.
I've seen stuff on that.
It's good.
There's something that I just thought of that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but it's driving me crazy, and I need to tell you.
Okay, tell me.
Did you know that Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, wanted to make a fourth of the live-action suit movies?
Yes, I did.
Called The Foot Walks Again.
Yes, I've heard this.
And that they wanted to add a fifth turtle.
I've not heard that.
Named Kirby.
Why? Just cause.
I don't know.
That's great. Is he named after Jack Kirby, maybe, since they're all named after artists?
Maybe.
And he's a comic artist, maybe?
That, I hadn't thought about that, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's been bothering me ever since I found out. And I just needed to tell you.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that with me, Addison. Yeah.
Anytime.
So anyway, yeah, I've been playing... Halloween-y games. I'm trying to think if there's anything.
Kirby's a bad name for a turtle. Can you imagine watching a movie and the turtle's talking about eating pizza and he's just... You've never seen him before. He's not one of the original four. His name is Kirby.
What was his color scheme going to be?
I don't know.
They had a blue girl turtle in the TV show, apparently.
I don't remember that.
There's a live-action TV show, and it had a blue
girl turtle. Oh, that TV show.
And she had turtle breasts, which is odd. Just very strange. I don't remember her name.
I don't want to know her name.
Yeah, I think it was something like weird, oddly normal, too. Not like Michelangelo.
I bet they would have made it black. I bet his mask would have been black.
Yeah. Or like gold.
Yeah.
Well, but that
or white.
But Michelangelo is already like an orange, so yeah, like a white or like a black. Yeah, I could see that. That would make sense. Or see, like, because her colors were purple, and that kind of because Donatello's
already, yeah,
hers were blue. Never mind. Which kind of works because
they didn't make it pink. Blue's Leonardo.
Yeah. Wait. What was she then? I don't remember, actually, because we already have like basically like a red, yellow, or what? Well, then what's? I don't remember what it was. Actually. Huh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It just... my brain. It's happened. What else have you been playing?
Thank you for asking, Addison. I appreciate that. I've played Gargoyle's Quest 2, but I just talked about it, and now I've completely lost everything else that I've been talking... that I had in mind, so...
You've been playing some spoopy games on your Switch?
Oh, I had. I have. I played one spoopy game in particular. So, a few months ago... or actually, like, just a month or two ago, I bought Detention for the Nintendo Switch. It was on sale for $8, I believe, but it usually goes for, and I'm going to Google this because I don't remember, I think it usually goes for about 10 to 12, somewhere in there, but I got it for $8 because it was on sale, and I was like, yo, I want to play that, and I just kept it on my Switch until Halloween came around, and hey, that game is really, really, really great. I really like Detention. It's a good game. It originally was released on Steam. I don't know if it's available anywhere else, but it was originally released on Steam. It's usually 13, that's what it was, but it was on sale for 8, and so I was like, yo, gonna pick that up. But have you seen this game at all? Have you heard about it? Do you know anything
about it? I've heard about it. I don't really know. I think it's like a Korean-made game, I think.
I don't know. It's not. I don't think it's Korean-made. It is Thai. I think the development team is Thai because it takes place in Thailand. And how do I explain this game to you, Addison? So, first of all, I didn't expect it to be as in-depth with its story as it is. It's if I were to categorize this, what are you looking at? What are you doing?
Her name was Venus.
Fucking
and it was blue. But
like a light blue?
Yeah.
Because Leonardo's still blue.
Ooh.
Addison, I don't want to edit this much out of the podcast.
All right. I'm done. I'm really done this time.
It's more of a turquoise, really, than a blue.
Yeah.
It's more of a teal.
I guess. Also, that man's name was, well, now it's gone. It was Takeshi Kitano, the actor in Yakuza 6.
Oh, okay, got it.
I'm really done.
All right. You're just giving me less time on this earth that I get to spend with my family.
Don't edit it. Just leave it in. The people need to know. They're gonna want to know.
All right. You ready to hear about detention now?
I'm ready. It takes place in Thailand.
Yeah.
What is the gameplay like? Is it like a VN? Is it like an adventure game?
No. Yeah. No. Yes. Sort of. If I were to give it a genre, I would say it is which I did not expect this part, but it was actually why not be my favorite part. It is an educational horror game. That is the way I would describe it.
Like, what are you learning about? Like, are you learning about Vietnam? Or
no.
God, Thailand, I mean?
Yes. So it takes place in Thailand, and something I've never heard about was whenever China, I think it's like in the 50s, I believe, mm-hmm. whenever China was becoming communist, Thailand did not want to become communist. But there was a big commie scare in Thailand where it was like, if they had like books that were banned, they had different things that they had, like they basically put military personnel into all of their state schools to like monitor what students were learning, and if you showed any signs of being a communist sympathizer, you could be put to death or you could go to jail. And it kind of takes place during a lot of that, and it explores and kind of educates you on all the stuff that happened and all the ways that it affected people.
So
it's
yeah,
it's cool.
Does the horror come in that like real life, like real,
that's part things? Of it,
or is it like are there monsters or like ghosts mm-hmm. that are like maybe supposed to be like allegorical?
It's all of the above.
Okay.
So that's if I had one complaint about the game, that would be my complaint, is that it's pretty easy. Like it's just like I was able to just get through it, and like a monster didn't kill me the whole time I played, but there were definitely some spooks. There was some spooky stuff in this game. It is very, very scary. But there's like, there was a couple jump scares here and there, but as the game goes, it starts to explore more of the horror of like humans and like how we're like, we can just do horrible things to each other. And, which was really interesting. It just had a strange dynamic. It's like I expected to go into this to play like a Silent Hill, you know, like a spooky game, and then I came out of it like, whoa, like I feel like I learned a lot of things. It's almost like if someone made a horror game about, you know, like the Holocaust or something, and you would go into it like you know, and you hadn't heard of that thing before, and you go into it like, oh, I want to hear about this spooky thing that happened. And by the end, they're like, no, what's actually horrifying is that this thing happened and no one really knows about it because no one wants to talk about it. And but even within that, it's the story's focused around one person. And I don't want to say who because that could be kind of a spoiler. Hmm. The story's focused around one person.
Like,
and
when you say focused around one person, you mean like your character?
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's interesting that you don't want to say who you're playing as mm-hmm. because it could be a spoiler.
Yeah,
because things makes me very intrigued.
Things happen in the game that it's very, very story driven. It tells a very, very solid story that has some allegory here or there, and that has a couple of really big twists that I don't want to spoil. And so it has, yeah, my favorite part was the story and the sound design. Oh my gosh. Mitzi came in to like say goodnight to me one night, and I was just standing still in an area, and she's like, you're gonna have to turn that off because I'm not walking in the room while that's on, because it's just the sound design is just so creepy, and you know, just kind of like the atmosphere of it is really, really good. But yeah, and it's side scrolling, but it doesn't have like a pixelated art style or anything. It's kind of hand painted, and it's side scrolling, and you're in a school. That's why it's called detention, because it kind of, and you're exploring different parts of the school. There's other reasons why it's called detention, but I won't spoil those. But like, you're kind of exploring through the school, and there'll be like, you know, a puzzle you got to solve. It's like, oh, there's a door and it's covered in barbed wire, so you need to find like these wire clippers. Or there's this room where you need to get these clues off of this table, but you can't quite make them out, and you need to find something that will, you know, that you can use to, like an item you can use on this table to make the scratchings on it stand out more, and different things like that. And so it's really cool. But what's my favorite part of it is you keep finding these journal entries throughout the game, and a lot of them are taken from newspaper clippings about different things that have happened or different rules that the school had to kind of give you, like, the setting is my favorite part. Like it's sort of like a Silent Hill game in that way, that it feels like the place it takes place in is one of the characters, you know. It's like that's kind of where the focus is at. But it's so hard for me to describe this game, but in reality what it is it's an adventure horror game that also educates you on this certain part of history that you, I'm guessing, know nothing about. And you walk away from it just kind of, it's just a great experience. It's a really, really excellent game.
That's really cool.
It's really unique and fun. And, it's not fun to learn about, but horror game, like, it's a lot of fun.
It's entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great horror game, and it's probably the best horror game on the Switch. I mean, I know some people like Outlast and stuff, but it's really good. And so I'm definitely going to give it a buy it. I think even at the $13 price point, it's absolutely worth picking up. Even though it's only like, I'd say it's probably 5 or 6 hours long. I beat it over like 3 days, and I played it for several hours in each sitting. And so yeah, it's probably like 5-6 hours depending. And I didn't get stuck at all. So if you're bad at these types of games or you can't figure out what to do, then you know it might take you a little bit longer. But yeah, it's good. I like it a lot.
Sorry. Somewhat randomly, quick PSA, since it's Halloween time and people listening to this are probably going to, you know, look for some spooky games on the Switch, don't buy a Vaccine.
Yeah.
Don't buy that.
Don't get that. Get Detention instead. They're like the same price, I think, even.
Really?
They're very close. Wow. What was Vaccine whenever you reviewed it? I thought it was like $10.
When I reviewed it, yeah. I think it's pretty consistently usually like $2.
Okay, now. Well, yeah. Even Which, then.
Even then at $2, like, I mean, you're not going to be out a lot.
No.
But you're probably going to
Your time is worth more than that.
Yeah. You could spend $2 on a candy bar instead.
Yeah. Or just add $10 to that and play Detention and learn about something really cool and also get to play a cool, unique game. That's one of the things is, I think when you first look at it, you can think that it's cheaply made or that there's not a lot of stuff going on behind it, because just from the art style, like, it just kind of, it has the vibe of a, you know, oh, this is a very indie game, probably made by like two people. No, like there's stuff that goes on as the game goes that you're like, wow, like people put a lot of work into this. And sure enough, whenever I finished it and looked at the credits, like it was all made by Thai people. And there was actually a pretty big team, and they had like some support from different, you know, different organizations in Thailand that helped fund the game. And it's really good.
It kind of reminds me of what was that game called? I can't think of it. But you play it as like an Inuit girl.
Yeah.
And there's like the white fox.
I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
But like in that game, you learned a lot while playing it. Like they had all these like little kind of segments where you would learn a lot about like the Inuit culture.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's like another thing that like I didn't really know much about it. And so it was interesting to learn that way.
And I don't want to overemphasize that. I don't want people to think that this is like, I do think that the game was made with the purpose of informing folks about this whole thing, but it is a horror game that you can just play for that through and through, like it from beginning to end. I mean, it is a horror story.
It's just like you're incidentally also learning about.
Yes, because that's the backdrop of the game. Like you can't help, and it's like, and with the way the story works, it wouldn't make sense in the context, except in the context of those events at that time. And so that's kind of what drives a lot of the horror aspects. And the twists are really well done, like right up to the end. It was just great. And it has a very Asian horror vibe to it. So if you know stuff like The Ring and whatever, it has that kind of vibe to it as well. But there's a lot of spooky spooks and ghosts and, you know, what's
really
real
good.
And what's not real, I don't know.
But it's also just, boy, it's making me want to play World of Horror.
World of Horror looks great.
Also,
World of Horror is made by like a U.S. team, though, isn't it? I think isn't it made by a Western developer?
I
could be wrong.
I think so, but I don't think it's U.S. I think it is Western, but I don't remember.
This just feels very genuine. I really want more people to play this game. It's excellent. And even if you don't want to spend $13, it's also on Steam. I'm sure it goes on sale on there all the time. But I loved it. I don't know if there's really much that you can do the second time around. I also think there's a lot of Switch games out there right now that can be played forever. And it's cool just to have a game that's designed beginning to end and can be beat in just a few hours. It's excellent. So
yeah, there's sometimes I want games like that where it's hey, there's not mm-hmm. so much an end to this, but it's also just feels nice to mm-hmm. bookend something and just be like, okay, it's done. I did it. I saw what I came here to see.
Also, if you're looking for another Halloween game to play on your Switch, I recommend Oxenfree, which is actually similar to this in some ways. When I think about
Wait, is that a spoopy game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you not played that far?
I bought Oxenfree.
Uh huh.
And then just didn't play it.
Yeah, it's spoopy.
Okay, I'm gonna start playing Oxenfree tonight. Yeah,
it's really great.
Whenever I go to bed, I'm gonna play that for a little bit before I go to sleep.
Yeah, it's good. It's spoopy, all right. Cool. What was the other thing I was gonna say? One last thing. Oh,
I wish Kentucky Route Zero was out for the Switch because that game was kind of spoopy.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, and Detention kind of feels it's in the vein of some of those. I feel like
spooky in the way that David Lynch stuff can be spooky.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, Oxenfree is much more spooky in the way that I don't want to spoil it. You should just play it. It's great. You can beat it in 5 hours.
Yeah.
And then one last complaint about Detention. It was localized by Playism, who does an okay job, depending on what they're localizing. And there were a few typos or kind of a couple of English moments where I was like, come on, guys. Seriously? But those didn't, nullify my impact. But then what's weird is, there's a couple moments of that where there's, a big typo or there's, that doesn't quite make sense. And then there's other moments of the translation that are so good. Where they're translating a poem or something that's dude, that's some of the best writing I've seen in a video game in a long time. And then other moments that are, I don't know. So that was kind of a weird dichotomy at some points. But anyway, I say definitely buy it, though. Detention is excellent if you're looking for a spooky game to play for your Switch. I also got Steradin, I think is how you pronounce it. It was on sale for $4.50 or something. And I'd been eyeing it for a little while, but it's a roguelike space shooter. And I thought, I don't need another game to play, but also $4 is pretty cheap. So so I just used some gold points and picked up Steradin. And hey, that game's great. It's really, really fun. And I don't hear anyone talking about it, but it's excellent. I know I say roguelike, shooter, but it doesn't really feel super random all the time. The power-ups you find and the different weapons you get as you play feel a little bit random, but it also just kind of feels like a space shooter, and it's excellent, and I like it a lot, and the music is jamming.
Yeah.
You were watching me play it earlier.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you can make a song out of just guitar solos?
So I thought, sick. When I first looked at it, I was like, this looks a lot like FTL.
Yeah, but no, it's like a straight-up shmup.
Whenever I first saw it, I was like, they didn't put FTL on the Switch. I just didn't notice, did they?
It'd be so good they did, though. I don't think FTL's ever had a console release.
Nope.
Man, I love that game.
Well, unless you count, iPad.
I think it'd be, impossible to play, though, because you've got to make quick decisions where you're moving lots of stuff.
Yeah.
And that'd be really hard to play with the mouse or touch controls.
Made me nervous that Into the Breach wouldn't mm-hmm. get a release, but it did. I'm happy it did. Yeah. Anything else?
Steradin's great. Also, yeah, one last review for everybody. Actually, I played more Towerfall with Mitzi. Towerfall's still great.
So good. I'm excited to play that at my game night.
Yeah, I want to wait to give a review until we've played it with a bunch of people.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But Towerfall's still excellent. I'm really enjoying that. So the last game I played that I'm reviewing is The Gardens Between.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
I'm excited for this.
Boy, yeah, I've been excited to talk about this game. It's one I played at PAX and really stuck with me. And I was kind of like, oh man, I got to review this game. And it's not Halloween-y, it's not spoopy, but you know what, whatever. I still want to review it. And they were kind enough to send us a review copy, but I was planning to pick it up anyway just because I've been excited to check it out. And this is going to be a tough one to explain on a podcast. But The Gardens Between, it's another one of these games that's about 3 to 5 hours long, somewhere in there, which is great. I'm totally cool with games being that length. And I think it is $20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
It is a puzzle game through and through, I would say. Puzzle, sort of puzzle adventure, but mostly puzzle game. And the way that it works is you don't play as the characters, you play as time itself. And so you can fast forward or rewind time with the analog stick. And Each of the characters, there's two characters, and each of them serves a different role. One of them, the girl, I think her name's Alina, she can hold a lamp, and what she does is she has the whole gameplay centers around getting this light, this little light ball of light into her lamp, and then getting that to the end goal of the stage. And there's a lot of obstacles that stand between you guys, and so you have to fast forward and rewind time to sort of solve these different puzzles. And so I'll give you an example.
Did you ever play Braid?
I didn't play Braid.
Okay, I was wondering if it was similar.
I don't think it is. I think we talked about this, because Braid's a little more of like a platformer. This is much more of, it's almost like watching little vignettes. Like if there wasn't things stopping you, you could literally just hold fast forward and the level would just play itself.
Yeah.
But because there's obstacles in your way and you have to rewind, grab this, take this over here, and then like, you know, change things, it's hard to explain. So like, I'll say this. Let's say you get the ball of light in your lamp. Okay, cool. And you take that to the end of the level. But there's also this flower that's opened with like a dark ball of light, like it's like blackish purple. It will steal the ball of light out of your lamp. And so you need to find a way to either close that flower by hitting a switch, or by finding another route around it, or by jumping something in the way of it. And it's not open-ended. It's like there's a way to solve it.
But okay, so what the level there's not like multiple ways to...
No, it's definitely like there's a way to solve this, and you need to figure out what that way is.
I see.
I'm just saying that in one level you might pull a switch to shut it, and then you can walk past. Or another level, you might need to find a route around it by doing something else.
Gotcha.
There's also like little pedestals that will kind of jump and move through the level, and you can set your lamp on those to have them carry the lamp to somewhere else. But what's cool is it's just the settings of each of these levels are so... First of all, it's a beautiful game. It kind of has that art style like we were talking about, sort of like, you know, Untitled Goose Game or whatever, where it's much more, you know, low poly, you know, and very colorful. But this one has... I would say this one has a little more texture to it. There is a little bit more of an intentionality to the way that everything looks. But you're sort of on this little island, and it's like... It starts you down here. You need to get to the top of it, or you need to get to this other side of it. And like I'll say, for example, for one level, there is a giant dinosaur skeleton, and it's just kind of the island is formed around the skeleton. And when you start playing the level, the skeleton falls apart and kind of breaks and knocks some things down, or bones fall in between like gaps where you need to walk, and you need to kind of fast forward and rewind to certain points to where it like knocks this thing away, or it, you know, out of your way, or it makes a place where you can walk across to like this other part of the area. It's hard to explain because it's so different from anything I've ever played.
Yeah, but
it's
great. I kind of get it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to ask if the story, how it's told, if it's told through like text, or if it's just all like, if there's like no dialogue or...
There's no dialogue.
I know that there's a story to it.
Mm-hmm. It's a great story. I was sobbing by the end.
Are you just kind of... I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but is the story just implied through like the actions of these characters?
Yeah. Okay. And you pick it up based on what the different levels are based around. Mm-hmm. So, like you start the game as these two kids and you're in a treehouse, and then suddenly you're transported to this island and you're like, what the heck? And then like the island starts telling you a story of these two kids. And it's like, and you sort of start figuring out as you go, like, oh, like, then they went and did this together, and then they did this, every time you beat, I think it's three levels, all the elements of those levels will combine into like one little scene that shows you like another part of their friendship, until you get to the end that I don't want to spoil, and it's really, really, really good.
I'm guessing the name of the game probably makes sense eventually as you're playing. Is that something that you can't really...
Sort of. So Garden, so I think this is an Australian game from what I could tell from the credits. And I know that in... my wife actually pointed this out. In, like, England, Garden means the front yard. Like, it means your yard.
Oh, okay.
And these kids live across the street from each other.
Oh,
and so I think it's about, like, I think the title of The Gardens Between means, like, it's the place that they hang out between their two houses. And I think it's sort of, like, the whole game's about their friendship and... sort of how they formed a friendship.
I can already tell that this would also probably make me cry.
Yeah, it's very good. And like I'm getting chills just thinking about it again, because I just really liked this game a lot. My only issue with it is kind of a technical issue. It has whenever it loads, like the level up, sometimes it gets real jumpy, like it's weird whenever whenever things load up. And that kind of is, I was like, really? Because if it was a very smooth transition, I feel like it would be just perfect. But that part of it kind of like threw me out of the experience.
Is it available on anything else?
I think so. I think it's, that's a good question, actually. Let me Google that, because I have not actually checked.
While you're doing that, I just had this thought, doesn't deal with this, but another game that I think would be good for people to play at this time of year is Night in the Woods, because it's not a horror game, but it has a very fall vibe to it, and from what I remember, the game takes place like kind of around Halloween, Thanksgiving kind of time.
That might be the next one I play then, because that's so now that you say that, it totally makes sense.
So good.
Gardens Between, it is on PlayStation 4 and on my Windows as well, so I don't know if those performance issues are just a Switch thing.
Yeah, I wonder.
But I liked having it in portable mode just to play, like in the living room or something. But I will say that the portable mode, like the resolution wasn't, it was like real aliased, like there wasn't any anti-aliasing, so it was lots of jaggies. I don't know if that means it had because it had a lower resolution or what was causing that, but whatever. It's not exactly like a graphical powerhouse. It's not like a really super demanding game, but it's excellent. And I'm gonna give it an essential because I really really loved it. And I was debating on this because I was like, I don't know if it's for everyone, but really, like, I don't even like puzzle games that much because I'm pretty bad at them. And I really enjoyed it. And I think that, like, Mitzi wants to play through it, you know, and I think anybody could find something to enjoy here. And Gardens Between, really excellent, one of my favorite games of the year. I'm totally giving it an essential. Everybody should check it out. So those are all the games I've played.
All right,
I think that's
so it. I guess we don't really have any news stories to talk about that I can think of.
Yeah, we don't really, actually. That's
I was kind of quiet on that front. Mario Party came out, but neither of us have that.
We're gonna play it eventually though, because apparently your friend's bringing it over, and I don't think our listeners are just hankering for that Mario Party news either. So
I hear mixed things on it. Some people seem to be super into it. Some people seem to not be so into it. But did we get any questions?
We didn't. We got a lot of people that like gave us attention on that post, but didn't actually ask a question. So good job, you dinks. Ask a question next time. But I have a question for you guys though, because I want to know what games you're all playing for Halloween. Because as we get closer to Halloween, I want to talk more about spooky games, because I'm always looking for more.
I thought of something else I wanted to talk about.
What?
So I had asked a lot of people for some horror manga recommendations, and you gave me one that I started reading. I haven't got too far into it, but that's because first I read one of Junji Ito's more recent works, Hellstar Remina, or I think that's how you say it, Remina. Have you read that?
No.
It's crazy.
Is it?
Yeah. But, like,
When you say Hellstar, I get a lot of things in my head, and that sounds pretty sick.
Yeah. every other Junji Ito thing I've ever read, though, the ending is weak, and it just kind of comes out of nowhere. I'm like, okay, I guess it's over.
That's how it goes.
Basically, the short synopsis is this... astronomer, sorry, very different, is, you know, looking through his telescope, and he's like, oh, I found this new planet, and it doesn't make any sense. It's, like, moving in this very weird, erratic pattern that, like, I don't understand, and, like, it gets close to these other planets and just, like, just completely eviscerates them and destroys them. And
I love how he takes stuff that's not scary and then makes it really scary.
Yeah,
like that's one of my favorite things that he does.
So he names it after his daughter, and then they start learning more about this planet, and like, oh, it's coming towards Earth at like a faster than speed of light speed, and then it like gets into our solar system and starts like destroying our planets, and then they realize, oh, it's alive, and so like. I won't get too into it, but like it's this like living thing.
That sounds really cool.
And the horror.
I was thinking that was probably where it was going.
A lot of the horror comes in with like the people on Earth think that this astronomer and his daughter that he named it after have like made some sort of deal with the devil and brought this like planet to Earth, and then so there's like. It's just her running from these angry mobs that are, like, trying to kill her.
Jeez.
And it's pretty good.
That's awesome. I have a hardback copy of Uzumaki that I've been reading.
Have you ever read Uzumaki?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, it was like years ago, it was like 2011 though. So I've just been reading through it again.
Been thinking about buying that hardback version of Gyo because I've never read Gyo.
It's from the same series as the release of Uzumaki. I can show it to you. It's a really quality book. It's really nice. So.
I love Uzumaki, but man, again, the ending is not very good.
No, it's not.
Have you ever seen the live action Uzumaki movie? Uzumaki movie? It is not good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
It's bad. I watched all of it for some reason at like 3 a.m. one night.
Check out Hakaiju too. That's always one of my.
Yeah, that's the one that I've been reading that you told me about. I haven't got very far into it.
It's really
I just started it the other day.
I don't know where it's at now because I haven't read it in a few years, but
It was still ongoing.
I think it is, unless it's finished in the last couple of years. Because I started reading it whenever it first came out, and that was like in 2011 or 12 or something like that. And there were only like 2 volumes then. But it's really interesting. It's very 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 violent. So just so you know, I like a kaiju quite a bit. Also, have you read The Human Chair by Junji Ito?
I think so.
Okay, it's one of his shorter ones.
I've read a bunch of his short stories, like. Late last year, earlier this year, I like just read a ton of them.
Yeah,
and he has like a series of like some. It's like about some kid or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hate those ones. Like not because they, not because I think they're like disturbing or anything. I just like don't like them.
Yeah, well.
And so I kept like I just got to the point where I was like, it's this guy again. No, like he had so many, and so I'd like start reading one and be like. It's a stupid kid again. I know how this goes. It's the same story every time. So I stopped reading that for a while.
Well, if you haven't read The Human Chair, just Google it. There's a Tumblr fan translation of it. It's literally just a Tumblr that's just dedicated to this fan translation. It's like one post, and you can just scroll through it all on your phone. I love The Human Chair. It's one of my favorite of his short stories because it just once again it's one of those things that's like not. Scary at all, but then like he takes it and makes it very 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 scary. We've also been
Cat diaries are so good.
Yeah. We recently found we were just like at an antique store and found this old book of like it's called like Spooks and Thrillers or something like that. There's like this old like 1950s or 60s book of just like ghost stories and stuff, and so we've just been reading some of those in the living room.
Oh cool.
And they're cool. There was like one we read and it was real creepy and it just reminded me of Junji Ito a lot. But yeah, it's Halloween time. I love this stuff. I love getting to watch movies and play games and read.
Well,
it's dope.
Before we go, how about we recommend a couple like horror movies that are you know, maybe a little less, you know, like not major releases, like kind of
like
more not, buried things,
not Halloween or like Alien or something like that. Yeah, okay. Give me a couple.
I really liked Night Train to Terror.
Mm-hmm. That's on my list for this year.
I watched that on Shudder, and it turned out it was in one of my, like, 50 movie collections that I have.
Oh, nice.
I, like, picked one up and was, like, looking to see what was on it that I might want to watch. I was like, oh, Night Train to Terror was on this.
Sweet.
It's an anthology thing, and it's about, like, it's just wild. It's, like, God and Devil on this train that has, like, some ongoing musical number, and it's like just
don't tell me too much
going down Rainbow Road or something
because I want to go
and then
it's called the Rainbow Road.
So then it's I think there's 3 stories on it, and the first one is
but I don't want to hear any more.
The other two are very good.
Okay.
And then a more modern one, I watched Splinter the other day.
Oh yeah.
And that was really good. It's like a this like virus that takes over like dead creatures and humans and makes them grow like these quills and
makes them spiky scary boys.
And it was pretty good. There was like some kind of plot stuff that I was like but for the most part I really liked it. I think that was also on Shudder. I can't remember where I watched it. It was on some streaming service.
Nice. A couple of mine that I always like to recommend: Creepshow, because I'm always
love Creepshow.
I'm still surprised by how many people haven't seen Creepshow or have never heard of it. It's excellent. And also, like, I feel like you can watch Creepshow with like your mom. You know, it's not going to be it's like not going to be completely horrific.
It's kind of like on the same level as like Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, it's great. I really love Creepshow. That's one of the ones I love to watch like on Halloween sometimes or whatever. And I always like to recommend The Gate, because people still haven't seen The Gate.
That's on my list. I tried to get people to watch that the other night, but...
It was a kid's movie in the 80s, and you're just like, how was this a kid's movie? But I like The Gate a lot. And we watched that last year with Zach and Janet. I'm trying to think of some others. More recent ones. I love The Hallow. Have you ever seen Hallow before? Mm-mm. It was streaming on Netflix a little while ago, a couple months ago. I don't know if it still is or not. So it takes place in, I think, Ireland, and it's about the fairies that live in the forest in Ireland. But the fairies are not what you think they are. Yeah. And it's really cool. I like that movie a lot.
That makes me also want to... It's gotten a lot more popular, but if you don't listen to Lore, you should listen to Lore.
Yeah.
And they also have a show on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
which I wonder if there's going to be... If that season two mm-hmm. is going to come out soon for Halloween.
He said it was, but I'm not sure when that...
I'm kind of behind on my episodes of Lore.
So, The Hallow's great. Also, I watched The Ritual on Netflix.
I've heard that's really good.
And I liked it. It's a little... I don't want to spoil anything. There's a little bit of cosmic horror going on there. Once again, The Hallow The Hallow and what I just said?
The Gate?
The Ritual.
Oh, The Hallow
and The Ritual are, those are more modern, so they're going to be very violent. But, like, I like them both quite a bit. So
a lot of people, and this just got put on Netflix, a lot of people haven't seen The Witch, aka The Vavitch.
That wasn't my jam, but I could recognize it was a quality film.
It's, might not be for you,
but
I think it's fantastic, and that's one of my favorite horror movies.
I've never been into the demon possession stuff in movies. I think because I studied theology for so long, I watched the movies and I analyze it. I'm like, that's inaccurate based on what people have studied, and that's dumb or something. Like I turn it into like a dissection thing. Like it really bothers me.
Do you like Jurassic Park?
Yeah, but see, if I was a paleontologist, and I had studied, or just whatever. If I just worked even in a museum and like had studied, there's things about it that would bug me. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I like monster movies, because I just like that it's made up. Which a lot of demon stuff is completely made up. But for me, it's like, I'm just like, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. It just makes me analyze it too much.
The Witch is great. If you liked Hereditary, you'll probably like The Witch.
Yeah. I still haven't seen Hereditary either. I haven't seen
I almost,
Conjuring.
I almost want to tell you to not watch Hereditary.
Trying to think if there's anything I could recommend that would be for people that are like really, real big babies.
Let's go see Invasion of the Body Snatchers this week.
Hey, if you haven't seen the 1970s Invasion of the Body Snatchers, guys, that's like one of my favorites. It's very, very good.
Let's go see that.
Also, Jeff Goldblum's very handsome in it.
I don't know. Thursday, maybe?
Yeah. Is that this week? I thought it was...
I'm pretty sure it's this week.
I thought it was the... what's that other one, Mitzi? The Haunted House one? Oh, she's not in the other room. Yeah, I thought it was Amityville Horror this week. Which I haven't seen either, so...
Maybe. I thought it was Invasion, though.
Anyway. Hey, there's a lot of good movies. Watch them. The Thing is my all-time favorite, though, so if you haven't seen
good.
That's priority number one.
I don't even know what my all-time favorite would be, but Evil Dead 2 is up there. I know you just watched that for the first time.
Yeah, it was good.
It's very good.
It was way goofier than I expected it to be.
Yeah. Which is good. You said that you're trying to think of something for big babies. I would almost say It Follows, like...
No!
No?
No! It Follows is terrifying. I
think it's like more tense than terrifying.
Oh, it's horrifying.
I love It Follows, though.
Well, It Follows isn't like a jump scare movie. Well, no. There's a couple parts, but it's like, for me, I think that can be even more horrific sometimes, because you're just like, the idea of that, just you're constantly dreading
it. Yeah.
I'm thinking more like Monster Squad.
Oh, okay. Like Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go.
Young Frankenstein's one of my favorite movies to watch around Halloween. I also watch Paranorman every year.
Yeah.
I love Paranorman.
My favorite, if you're wanting to watch, like, I want an actual horror movie, but I don't want some, like, my favorite introductory horror movie is always Poltergeist. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That was the first horror movie I ever watched with Mitzi, and now she, like, is like, yeah, let's watch Evil Dead 2.
I like Poltergeist a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, what was the one you just mentioned?
Fright Night?
Yeah, Fright Night's freaking so good. Yeah. That's like in the pantheon. Like that's up there in the top 10 for me.
It's pretty good.
I love Fright Night. We could go all day on this, so we should probably stop.
Yeah.
So your recommendations this year for like that you were making right now were, what was it?
I said a lot. We both said so many just now.
I know, but like besides all those, the first couple that you made were Night Train to Terror.
Night Train to Terror. What was the other ones I said? I already forgot.
Oh, dang it.
Night Train to Terror, and then I said Splinter.
Splinter, okay. And then I said, like, I said more than I should have. But, like, The Gate and Creepshow and The Hollow and, what was the other one? The Ritual. So, lots of the movies these days, for whatever reason. Anyway. All right, hey, guys, thanks for listening. That's all we've got for today, and I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Okay, love you, bye.